everyone could rise for the pledge, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll move forward with the roll call.
Mr. Adams?
Here.
Mr. Batsel?
Here.
Mr. Gibney?
Here.
Mr. Greiner?
Here.
Mr. Kesselring?
Here.
Ms. McCall?
Here.
Mr. Schott?
Here.
We have a quorum, sir.
Okay, thank you. Can you read the agenda notes, please?
Yes, sir. Cases heard by the Planning and Zoning Commission will be presented to City Council in accordance with the schedule provided after each case in the agenda. Please note that the City Council meetings will begin at 4 o'clock p.m. and are held at City Hall, City Council Chambers, second floor, located at 110 Southeast Wauwatula Avenue.
Okay, thank you. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve.
All right, we have a motion.
Second.
All right.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Schott?
Aye.
Mr. Batsel?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Ms. McCall?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. All right, we are going to move the agenda items around a bit. We're going to start with the code change in an effort to save the city some money. Ty, can you go ahead and come up and COD 14-0013?
He's going to let me do it, Chairman, if that's okay. Jimmy Gooding, Assistant City Attorney. The city staff has prepared a proposed ordinance for consideration by y'all and by City Council concerning the definition and procedures governing flags. As y'all saw in the newspaper a month and a half ago or so, the city code enforcement made a decision to issue a citation to a business that had a Gadsden flag on the property, believing that to be a violation of the city code. Mr. Chickasaw and I looked at it, and we actually discussed it at a city council meeting, and council made it pretty clear they don't want to be in the business of prohibiting or otherwise regulating flags like the Gadsden flag or the United States flag. The problem is that the problem was, and is until an ordinance is adopted, is that the definition of flag in the city sign code includes all flags, but then it has some exemptions. One exemption is just for flags in the United States and the state, presumably referenced to the state of Florida, and then a governmental or religious flag. And in the opinion of the code enforcement officer, a Gadsden flag was not a governmental flag, even though the Marine Corps has used it as such, and before we had a government, the Patriots used it as such. Nonetheless, code enforcement, I think, properly decided it wasn't governmental, but improperly issued a citation because the U.S. Constitution prohibits the discrimination between types of flags, and in essence, the federal courts have said, if you're going to exempt any political, religious, governmental, quasi-governmental flags, you've got to exempt all of them. The only real regulation that you can have there for it is in the arena of commercial flags. So to deal with this issue, what we're proposed is an ordinance that you have before you that slightly amends the definition of flag and then creates three categories of flags. One is the business identity flag. That's a flag like the Star Banner has in front of its building, Central Florida Community College has in front of its campus. It is similar to the next type of flag, which is a commercial flag, which advertises grand opening, special sales, or other events. Imagine a car lot with a bunch of U.S. flags out on it, although that's about to be exempt under this next one. This final definition is non-commercial flag. It means any flag other than a business identity flag or commercial flag, including without limitation, a flag of any governmental, religious, charitable, fraternal, or political organization or cause. Then we exempt all non-commercial flags. We then provide that the commercial flags are allowed under the existing provisions of the city code that deals with temporary flags. That's in section 4 of the ordinance, essence, not changed that, except we've made it clear that it's limited to commercial flags. And then we've added a new section, 110-164 of the code, section 5 of the ordinance, that allows business identity flags in most of the commercial districts, but limits it to one flag per street frontage on a parcel, clarifies that you don't count this towards the on-site signage. Under this scenario, a car lot could have as many American flags as it wanted to, but if it has flags that said big sale, come in here, Chevrolet, whatnot, then that's a commercial flag subject to the temporary flag provisions. But if you have a business that wanted to put 50 U.S. flags or 50 Confederate flags or 50 Nazi flags or 50 ISIS flags in its business, the federal courts have said the government's not to regulate that. Now, I say that somewhat facetiously because I don't think many commercial businesses would stay in business long if they had any of those types of flags there. But the federal courts have said that you're not, if you're going to allow any flags, like an American, like a United States flag, you have to allow all similar political type flags. So that's what we've done. I think this ordinance, after the adoption of the ordinance, our code will be constitutional. We'll still permit Ty and the city staff to regulate the areas of flags, the commercial flags, that have been the only source of any problems using the connection with special city council sales, stuff like that. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions?
Just at first glance, the definition of business identity flag means a flag that advertises only the name or logo of a business located on the premises where the flag is flown. I don't know that we need only. It could get complicated if it's also accompanied by something that is not related to the business.
The reason I put that in there, Mr. Bassel, is because I didn't want to have the Chevrolet big sale. If it's got big sale on it, it's not just a business identity flag. It's now a regular commercial flag.
Okay. Which would be temporary.
Which would only be allowed on a temporary basis.
Okay.
Whereas if they got Chevrolet on there, and it's a Chevy dealership, they could have one per street frontage.
Okay.
That's why I put that on there.
Any other questions?
Yeah. In business identity, if Chevy wants to have its logo and Chevy, can it do that?
I think both those are its logo.
As I would read that, means a flag that advertises only the name or logo, one or the other.
Or is not exclusive unless it says either, or unless it's clear, the context indicates it's exclusive. Most of the time in ordinances it means and or. Just, I don't know if you ever read that Florida Supreme Court case, Ted, where he said that only idiots use the phrase and or. I disagree with that. I think it's a great phrase. But ever since, I've been afraid to use it ever since the Supreme Court said it.
I haven't seen the case, and I use it often, so
it
tells you lots.
You've spent too much time looking at the case of the aged Indian War veteran, I'm sure.
And we really haven't had an issue with that. I mean, we've just added that because we knew we were making these changes, so we were trying to clarify that. And, I mean, the issues that we've had in the past have been not with the non-commercial flags or the government religious flags. It's been the temporary flags. And this just brought to light an inconsistency between the definition. The definition was written at the time when the temporary flags were put into the code, and that was a totally different time from when the exemption was put in. And so there was an inconsistency. If somebody could read that, it is an inconsistency. I never read it that way, but that's the way some people have read the code.
One thing the council person asked is if we could include a provision in here that said if you fly the U.S. flag, you have to do so in accordance with the federal act that governs how you treat it, and blah, blah, blah. And the old flag burning cases of the 60s said in essence you can't do that.
And this ordinance just has to deal with flags and what qualifies each different type of flag, but it doesn't have anything to do with how a flag interferes with a sidewalk or anything like that. Is that a totally separate issue?
This only regulates the flags on private property.
Right.
Flags on public property are not subject to this.
Well, I meant in the case of that Gadsden flag, that flag was out in the middle of the sidewalk.
Right. Anything in the right-of-way, you can't put the temporary signs or anything like that. It can't be in the right-of-way, so that's a violation. But if they had it on their property and they had the proper permit, then it would be allowed.
Okay.
For a temporary sign, yes. And if they wanted to
I'm talking about the sidewalk in the front of the building. But that's an issue for the landlord?
Yeah, yeah. Anything on their property, we're not going to regulate from that standpoint. But if it's in the right-of-way, and right. I think maybe the issue, I think there was a barrel, if I recall, that was out in the right-of-way regarding that particular instance.
Even the exempt flags have to meet applicable construction standards, so the city can regulate the flag poles to make sure that they don't break off in a 10-mile-an-hour wind and get in the road.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your
Honor. We'll go ahead and open it up for any public discussion if anyone has a comment. Nope. All right, bring it back to the board.
Chairman, I'll move approval.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Batzel?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Ms. McCall?
Aye.
Mr. Schott?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you for moving on, right. Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. All right, now we'll go backwards a little bit to rezoning. ZON 14-0010. Permit from the
code enforcement cited the current owner in 2014 for the shed, you know, being in use without permits. The shed's used for maintenance and repair of equipment in the landfill operation. This went to the code enforcement board, sorry, the special magistrate, who found it in violation and directed them to obtain minor site plan approval and proper building permits. They have applied for site plan, which I have on the screen, and it has been, it has gone through the first cycle of review with city staff. It cannot be approved, however, until the proposed use is consistent with the zoning, and of course, a repair garage is not allowed in an R1 zoning district. So they have filed for this rezoning. The steps would be, if the zoning is approved, then the site plan comments would be addressed and be approved, and then they would need to obtain proper permits and go through building inspections to make sure that it is properly installed. There's also on the property a modular building, a mobile home, that is used in relation to the truck scales. The city issued a permit for that in 1999, and it was intended, the permit intended that it would be constructed on the property that was already zoned M1. It actually sits on the parcel line, so it is split between the zoning of M1 and R1, so the rezoning as well as site plan approval would address those non-conforming situations. Staff recommends approval of the rezoning. I will run through some photos of the area that were taken by code enforcement at the time that the case was cited. This is the entrance from Northwest 27th Avenue. Another shot looking in of the subject shed is the green building on the right. And another photo of the shed with the site plan paved access to 27th Avenue would be provided. It will convert to unpaved surface, as you see here. They will need to put in drainage improvements. They would need to put in paved handicap parking space as well. We recommend approval based on the findings of fact and the basis for approval. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
I had a couple of questions. The modular office building and the scale, when was the scale installed?
I believe they were both installed at
the same time. And how long did it take for the city to figure out that they were on the wrong piece of property?
2014. Not certain. It was something that was addressed with the code enforcement case.
Yeah, last spring, when the code enforcement case, right before it came before that, the applicants were here on a number of issues, and one regarding renewing a contract for city services for the yard waste. And at that time, some questions were brought up, and I went back and did the research, and I could not find the permit for the green building. All I saw was the permit for the modular building on the correct parcel, on the one that was owned M1. That's when we found out that they didn't have the permitting for the green building. Then we went back and looked at some of the old photos. Now we have a lot of old from the Google Earth. You can look through the old photos and you could see that the building was not there. And it came sometime between 04 and 06. I think the current owner purchased the property, I think, in 06, if that, and he can attest to that.
Yes, sir.
Patty, you stated that the landfill cannot be expanded. I think on here it says beyond the cells approved by FDEP.
Correct. And they can't seek additional, they could not seek approval for the landfill on the subject property.
Okay.
Because it is not an allowed use. It
okay.
cannot be expanded onto this property.
So this is going to be this shed and maintenance shed, and the woods are going to be left there. I mean, it's.
That's the way the site plan is proposed.
Yeah.
At some point, if they were seeking redevelopment, they could request the use allowed by the M1 zoning district.
Right. But the landfill itself can't be.
Yeah.
The landfill is not in the code of ordinances. A C&D landfill that was a proposed ordinance back in 2009 that went to the Planning and Zoning Commission, City Council. The ordinance got approved, but it was vetoed by the mayor at that time, and so the ordinance never went through, so a C&D landfill is not allowed. So the only way a C&D landfill would be able to come back into the city would be to have that code change.
Yes, sir. Patty, the property directly to the east, that's R3, is that vacant?
It is vacant. Undeveloped.
And to the north, I guess there's some R1 to the north. Are those?
That also is undeveloped. It's owned by French Recycling, the parcel to the north.
The whole parcel to the north?
No, I think there's maybe one house a little further north, yes. Another thing regarding the ordinance, again, the ordinance that was proposed back in 2009 was not going to be for an M1 zoning. It was going to be for M2 and M3 zoning. So that was just, I forgot to add that.
Do they own any other parcels adjacent to the property
yeah.
that they're developed?
Yes. The piece, the large piece is right there that go all the way to 31st Avenue. Is owned by Friends all the way up to 28th Street. So there is a large R1 portion that they own. And that was part of when they did the code change, there was a rezoning application to go to M2 so that they would be able to expand the landfill if the code change got approved. Once the code change didn't get approved, the zoning was also the zoning was actually outright denied by council. So they could have put it in the ordinance, they could have put it in the code, but not give the zoning. So right now it's R1 still.
The parcel to the south is also under French.
Okay, but the parcels to the north, so you're saying that the one that's directly north of this one that we're discussing today, and then the two parcels that are to the west of that one?
Yes.
You might want to go.
That are the two R1 pieces on top of each other, or just the one?
I know that the parcel directly north of the subject property is zoned R1 and is owned by Friends Recycling. I believe it goes further west from the subject property, but I would want to double check the map before testifying.
If you go to the, can you go to the zoning map? Do you have it on? Do you have a map? Yeah.
But basically, all this area is
except
pretty,
that little. Notch out right to the north, not to the north of it, just the next parcel. There's a little notch out of that's not owned by Friends, but everything else,
but really
all the way to the west to the nether R1 piece to the R2 pieces is owned by Friends.
Can you show me?
And then those pieces. Yes, yes. They own that, the piece to the north of it, and then the piece to the west of it, that long piece.
So basically, this site is the requested site is surrounded by the current owner, except for directly across 27th to the east.
That's correct.
And that's vacant. Is that correct?
And it's, you know, a small piece of R1 that's
so now, let me go back to the past request that we were talking about. We were talking about a zoning change request, weren't we, earlier, Ty? About them going to M2? Include these R1 parcels?
It's including the two long ones. Those were, one of them was going to be request to go to M2.
Along with a code change that would have allowed a C&D landfill in the city, right?
Correct.
In M2, okay.
Correct. the zoning change got denied. The C&D was approved, but it was vetoed by the mayor, so in essence, it was denied. It wasn't overrided by council.
Okay. Is there any other questions? Okay, thank you. The applicant like to get up and speak?
Jerry Lorenko, 9875 Southeast 58. When I purchased Friends Recycling in 2006, the full barn or shed, whatever you want to call it, was already constructed on the property. I didn't find out about being all one or, you know, in violation until code enforcement cited me about 5-6 months ago. And so I went to the city to bring it back up to code or make it right. You know, drainage area, a handicapped parking spot, whatever other suggestions they have to bring up to code.
Okay.
Since then, I pretty much tore all the property around, you know what I mean? Try to be a good neighbor.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the reason I was asking specifically about the adjacent properties is because I would assume that the concern of the neighbors is the domino effect that could happen. A rezoning here turns into a rezoning there, could potentially, next thing you know, it's right up against their property. So, I mean, that's main reason why I would ask a question like that, and not to mention the fact that, I mean, I didn't know you bought it in 2006, but
yeah.
Obviously the fact that someone just went and, you know, built structures on the property knowing that they shouldn't be on that property and just did it anyhow, it's obviously not the right way to do things. So.
No.
Any questions?
It is so heavily wooded, you cannot see it from the street. I mean, until you go inside the property and know what you were looking for, you wouldn't be able to tell that.
Well, the person who built it could tell that it was on the property.
Yeah,
that's my point.
That probably wasn't right.
Any questions? Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
I'm going to open it up for public comments. Any questions or concerns? When you come to the podium, just state your name and your address, please.
I'm Don Nelson, 3120 Northwest 28th Street. I have a couple of problems with what's going on. I feel that the city's going to make an industrial park out there. They need to get with the residents that's out there first. In the first place, it's not in the middle of where we live. Nobody likes that. Nobody wants it. Nobody has stopped it. So it's gone so far now that you can't stop it. So there's one suggestion. The only suggestion I know that's fair to everybody out there is if you want to continue with the dump, buy the people out there out. Then you can do what you want to do out there. But the way it's going right now, that dump stinks. I mean, it really stinks sometimes. And there are times that it doesn't. I don't complain when it doesn't stink. But when it does stink, I don't think any of you up here will want to be out there doing that time. Last Sunday, it stank to high heaven. Really. And put yourselves in our place. If we wasn't out there, we were out there before the dump was out there. Now, if you were out there, you wouldn't be sitting up there saying, hey, let's expand it. You wouldn't even want to talk about it. You'd say, hey, stop the dump or buy us out. So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the city need to do one or two things. They need to buy us out or stop the dump. Plain and simple. That's fair to everybody out there. It's becoming an industrial park. I moved out there in 1974, and I carved out a place for me to live, for me and my family. I raised my family there. And right now, I'm almost 75 years old, and I don't feel like going and trying to build another place. So, a lot of people out there, and then y'all can do what you want to do.
Mr. Nelson, I know you gave your address, but where do you live in relationship to the?
I live at the northwest corner of. If you go down 28th Street, I'm in the first house on the left hand side.
Yeah. Okay.
Where Patty's pointing at.
Okay.
It's not all on the map, but that's part of the parcel.
So yeah, to the north. Okay, I got you.
We've been coming up here for probably 5 years complaining about the same thing. And I tell you the same thing each time. Put yourselves in our place. I don't think any of you up there want to live near a dump, do you? Can you truly answer that? You don't want to live there. We were there first. And I'm not knocking him, but I'm blaming the city for allowing it to go on. You all are doing that. You all are allowing this to take place. Now, the right thing to do is either by the people out that's out there, or stop it. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Sherman Nelson, my address is 3120 Northwest 28th Street. Our property borders at the northwest corner of Friends' property. And I'm against the rezoning because of the domino effect. Because I feel that once you start rezoning part of the property, next thing we know it all will be rezoned. And all kinds of stuff might be in there. Building might be right in front of my house with recycling garbage. It's be worse. So I implore y'all to not start rezoning that property because we are really strictly against it.
Thank you.
Commissioner Scott Hackmeyer, 6221 Southwest 80th Lane in Ocala. Just a comment before I start my plan comments. It's true that Friends Recycling owns a great deal of that land, but a great deal of that land is zoned residential. I just wanted to make that point. It's not zoned anything but residential. When Ms. Hitchcock made her presentation, there are some key words I hope you'll focus on. I made some notes. Non-conforming, non-compliant, buildings built without permits, and that's all very true of how this came about. Last week I had lunch with two representatives of a corporation who have some intent of building affordable, nice, but affordable residential homes in West Ocala. I'm also on the board of Habitat for Humanity, which has built nice, affordable homes in West Ocala and has the intent to build additional nice, affordable homes in West Ocala. You have desirables and you have undesirables in that community. The larger you allow the undesirables, and I'm going to include Friends Recycling as an undesirable, the bigger you allow that footprint to become, and the more you legitimize that footprint, the harder it is for us to bring in the desirables into that community, meaning new residential communities. Vision 2035, which was between the city and the residents, had some great, it really is a great plan. You bring in new residential, along with some mixed-use retail to serve the residents in that community so everybody doesn't have to go out to State Road 200 to do some things like dry cleaning or the beauty parlor. Nowhere in Vision 35 are you going to see things about a dump or about expanding this. And Mr. Gibby, what you said is exactly right. It's the domino effect that you worry about. If you expand this a little bit more, ago. Prior city council shared with us that they weren't even going to renew the Friends recycling lease. We did not know until it was done that this was going to be expanded until 2035. We have a 2023. We thought this was going to be closed. So it's really important to me, and I think to the residents of the community, that you don't expand this footprint, that you don't give legitimacy to this type of an operation, and you allow the positives, the desirables, to have an opportunity to come and make West Ocala again a vibrant community. I appreciate it.
I think I'm correct that the permit for the landfills through FDEP, right?
Correct.
It doesn't have anything really to do with the city, does it? Or
they renew, DEP will renew the permit, yes. They
right.
make application to DEP.
Right, I'm saying, yeah. I'm just kind of clarifying.
There are some city contracts about the city taking lumber.
The city has a yard waste contract with Friends.
That we did not believe was going to be renewed, and you know, without that contract, doesn't make good business sense perhaps for that to be there, but that contract was renewed.
Yeah, the DEP permit got renewed, I think, last summer. The contract was renewed, and that's when the issue came to light about, that's when I did the research to find out about the permit for the building. That was in, I think, March of 2014.
Okay. All right, thank you. 2657 Northwest 27th Avenue. I happen to live in this particular area. As a matter of fact, to the right, to the east of Friends Recycle, where you saw that little piece of property straight to the north, I stayed across the street from that. And my point is this, it does smell at times. You can like smell the methane gas. You got bad odors. If it rained bad, if it rained hard, you get really bad scent from it. But the bottom line is quality of life. Again, we go back to something. My father built this home out here in 1961. My family was raised there. My father's family was raised there. I built the home adjacent to my parents' home. And I really don't plan on going that way. But it is sad that the community have to put up with someone bringing trash into the neighborhood. I have no problem with this gentleman. I work with him, I deal with him all the time. But what I'm talking about is, again, the quality of life that my family is being denied. And I'm going to tell you this because I told city council, my nets in my house, I have to have those, my ducts clean about every 4 months. I'm talking about stuff that thick in my air-conditioned ducts. That shouldn't happen. But what the air-conditioned people tell me, people don't clean ducts almost that often. I mean, when was the last time you truly had your air-conditioned ducts cleaned? It don't happen. It's the stuff that's coming from the dumps. The wind of dust flying all across everywhere. There's quite a few homes in that area. We are hoping that if you truly think about this and think about the people that live in that area, I have grandkids that's out there, and I just don't think that this is the proper use of the properties that's there. Now we have, what is it called? 489? What's the name?
Yeah, Ocala 489, yeah.
Okay, we have a 489 already out there, okay? I mean, from where 489 is being built, it affects us, but nothing like a trash dump will affect us. We don't bought into 489, nothing we can do about it is there, but when we're talking about trash, and I know it's not garbage, but it's trash. And about 4 months ago, here comes the garbage. Wanted to put the garbage there. Got some spoken names for it, but anyway, you dump the garbage inside a building, they go through the garbage, they take part of it here and part of it there, but
a waste transfer station, which is like the one at 441 and
52nd. You know, it's a domino effect. And we have the trash dump here right now. Now you're trying to put the garbage here. No matter whether you're going to take it away from there or not, but you're coming, you're dumping it here. To take it, make it all through it. Anyway, bottom line, I know you hear me. I hope your hearts hear me. We do appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Okay, last clarification real quick. Yeah. Patty, the requested building, that the existing building, is it allowed to be a waste transfer station?
No.
That would be a non-conforming use. That would be a violation of the.
Yeah. That use is not allowed in the code. Also, okay. That ordinance never did move forward to the Planning and Zoning Commission. It got pulled.
The building we're looking at, on the request that we're looking at, can't be used for any kind of garbage or recycling activities, except for, I guess, whatever's allowed in an M1. What would be allowed in one, that kind of thing. Because I think part of the thing is even if this thing gets denied, it's not going to do anything to impact the existing landfill. Is
correct.
That correct? I mean, does this building have any integral relationship with the landfill?
The property owner can answer, but I think it's used for repairs and storage. It does not have anything to do with the day-to-day operations. And if the property does not get zoned and the site plan does not get approved, then the recourse would be that the building would have to come down. Mm-hmm. But again, that would not stop the recycling from moving forward.
Okay, thank you. Volunteered my services to work in the city without pay.
various committees, and I definitely have put my heart in Vision 35. And the reason why I was representing West Ocala, I saw the beautiful pictures that was painted to you. Oh, the architect was just beautiful. And other CRAs jumped on the bandwagon after West Ocala did. And they said, why not fix up our area? We want to be fixed up too. But I have you to know 3/4 of our city was already fixed up. But West Ocala has not shared in the program. So now I'm looking at whether are we looking at the same vision that I worked on, Vision 35. Do y'all know how much work and time that was put in there to put areas to make it beautiful? And I heard about the, was that 450 plan or 490? 489. It's right there. And the plan was beautiful, how it was supposed to be connected West Ocala, and how it was supposed to have bicycles in the area, how it was supposed to have some nice green trees. But when you have pollution there, you're not going to have that. I'm sorry. And I did smell the stench, and I did call and report it last Sunday. I live all the way up on Northwest 18th Court, and I smell the odor there. When it's in the area, it's heavy, and I did call it in. I'm just saying here, I would like to stay on record. I concur with everybody that has spoken before me, and I'm not moving. I'm staying. I love Ocala. I came from the Midwest, I had nothing. I came here, I had less than a candy bar when I got off the trailway bus. But I'm living where I had to live. I didn't know about segregation in Kansas. But when I came here, I found out about segregation, and that's why I'm at 1604. Northwest 18th Court, and I've been there 52 years in 2011. That's where my husband pays. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Us having so much traffic there, trying to get into the road. The road is not that big once you turn off to get into the parking lot of the church. So to try to, you know, have that expanded and to be able to have the people be able to have access to the property, it would be very difficult for that purpose.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Ms. Franklin, Ms. Harris, can I get your addresses, please?
Oh, sorry, I was writing it down. I didn't hear him.
2830
Northwest 27th Avenue, the church, Valley of God Church. Okay. Is that yeah, that's fine. They're okay. They're representing
the church, so. No, that's fine. He said. Okay. Thank you.
You know, I wondered that, but I was so busy writing, I wasn't sure if I. She didn't look at me funny, so I figured she wasn't in.
I'm Joyce Curry, and I represent 2520 Northwest 31st Avenue.
I agree with everybody. I want it on record that I object to the change because historically, even though they say that it's not going to affect the smell, it's not going to affect this or that. I'm with Councilman Gibney. You got the dominant effect. You allow this to go, what else are you going to do? You've allowed it to go on much too long as it is. How long did it take before we get the plant shut down? How many people have to die from smelling this? I have lands, and sometimes I can't stay in that house because of that smell. So if you allow these people to keep, you know, it's like that lady said before. He's not a friendly neighbor because this is bringing down the neighborhood. And it's right in our front door. So I object to anything that they have to do with it. Just state it. We need to go. Or
we didn't assume we need to go. It's as simple as that. And it is my birth home. I was raised here. And I really don't appreciate the fact that at this point in my life, you know, with my parents not doing any better than it was when they both passed away, there's no hope of us doing anything more there. You're actually asking us, without asking us, to give up what we have known or had known as a place that you could actually enjoy.
We were there since 1962. We were there before Friends Recycling was there. And now they're pushing us out.
Thank you. Is there anyone else, either for or against? Okay. I'm going to bring it back to the board. Any comments?
Patty, what year was that property annexed to the city?
I would say maybe 75 when they did the referendum annexation. I don't recall seeing anything otherwise.
So it's Friends or the recycling, whoever it was at the time, approved under county or under city?
No, it would have been approved under the city. I mean, whenever it started, it as far as I can tell, goes back to the late 80s. I can't find anything sooner than that, but I just could not find it. But our records indicate it was the late 80s. I know when this came up in the comp plan in 1991, it was taken out of the comp plan and it was taken out of the code to allow a C&D landfill and a garbage transfer station, what it was called. Those things were removed from the code in order to make it a non-conforming use. But the property owner, I think, was owned by Greg Rose at the time. Not Greg Rose. Rose. I can't remember his first name. But it was owned by Mr. Rose at the time, and he came forward to keep his zoning as M1, but he knew that the use would be a non-conforming use going forward. at that time, they made a conscious decision, council and planning and zoning and staff, not to have any new garbage transfer stations or C&D or landfills. At the time, there was no distinction between a C&D landfill and a regular solid waste landfill that we have in the county.
Mr. Chairman, this may, you may have just answered this, but does DEP take into consideration whether a use is permitted in a municipality when considering a renewal or a new permit? Do you know anything about that process?
I can't say 100% their process. I mean, I have not been consulted on anything that in terms of their renewal process. Other members of the city may have been, because dealing with some of the contracts between friends in the city, between the city's public works division, but I haven't. But I don't think it's unusual, because long as it was, they assumed that it was a conforming use or non-conforming use, the use was there, so they knew that the use did exist to get the permit.
Just based on how they deal with mining operations and those sorts of things. So I would say that.
I mean, it's pretty restrictive in terms of where they cannot expand to and what sells or allowed to and how the process goes about. But yes, it matches what's on the ground. Their permit matches what's on the ground.
Well, for the sake of discussion, I'm inclined to vote no. I think I agree with the fact that an expansion of the footprint would just legitimize a noxious use in the city, that there's a reason we don't have it in the code. But really, that's not, unfortunately for most of y'all in the crowd, that ship has sailed, and there's not a lot we can do tonight to address that issue. I just think the issue tonight is the fact that it would be bad precedent for us to reward a knowing disregard for the city's permitting process. Some people say that it's better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission. I disagree. I think that'd be bad precedent. And I know that here we have someone who came in and purchased friends maybe after this addition took place, but I don't think that gives you a free pass when it comes to that. I think people do due diligence when purchasing businesses and address any issues that may arise. And I'm not inclined to grant forgiveness.
To add to that a little bit, I'm looking at an aerial photo where it appears that Friends Recycling is encroaching on the R1 as to the north already. There is a large chunk of property that would be considered R1 that's being used as recycling now.
I think they removed the trees there, and I think that existed back in 2009, but I don't think any recycling is going on in there.
Okay.
But some trees have been removed in the R1, which we told them not to. They cannot remove any trees.
If there's no further discussion, I'll make a motion, but I don't want to limit discussion.
I don't hear any other discussion.
All right, well, I will move for denial of zoning case number 14-0010.
Second. Right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion before we proceed?
I can give you possible other options. I mean, I guess there are other options. One would be if you did the rezoning, you could recommend to enter into a 163 agreement that kind of controls the property in terms of leaving the amount of trees and restricting development on it. That's a possibility. Or carving out frontage on the roadway and going back to where the building is to create a conforming lot just for the shed property and leave the remaining piece R1. Those are other options that the board could consider that we would also bring up to City Council. The one
I think your second, second option is not the worst idea. I mean, I would agree. I mean, I said it before. I think that the way we generally look at things and the way that things generally come to this board is it's we look at a certain property and then we're looking at what's the zoning to the north of it, what's the zoning to the east, to the south, and to the west, and then a lot of our decision hinges on is it compatible with the adjacent uses. So when you continue to move in whatever direction with zoning changes, then it makes it a lot easier for the next parcel to fall in line with the zoning change. I think that if you somehow were able to, I mean, are you talking about splitting? And the parcel would have to be split?
Yeah, it could be.
Because obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it has sufficient.
Split zoning.
I mean, it has sufficient frontage to have, let's say, the northern piece stay R1 and then just have the southern piece all the way out to the road. That could become M1. It could be a separate parcel.
We also have Mr. Batzel's comments, which I also agree with.
I mean, my two concerns are the precedent it sets in terms of the failure to ask for permission and the an expansion on any level, whether it's small or large. And I don't think crafting a special deal or a special type situation in the middle of a public hearing, I have other concerns about that, but I also don't think that addresses either of those concerns. So I don't want to make a friendly amendment.
I just wanted to bring up there were other options that the property owner, and they can propose that themselves if they want to move forward with that.
All right, Mr. Cuthbert.
Turning this down won't impact the problems that are occurring out there at all.
Right.
And it won't exasperate it, that's the phrase, anymore, because that land, that use is not allowed in M1. I think we're trying to do the right thing by the residents out there because they've got a bad situation, but turning this down is not going to help.
Well,
and I think making the current owner, who didn't construct the building, tear down the building because we're trying to make everybody feel good, is not treating him fairly either. I think if you look at it, this isn't an R1 piece of property. It's just not going to be used for an R1. I mean, we can, if you want nobody to use a piece of property, then you can keep it that zone.
Well, I would say, but
I disagree with the motion that's on the floor.
Well, I would say that a zoning change to M1 will allow a lot of other uses on that property, and there's no question about it. I mean,
okay, let me ask you this: if it wasn't a recycling plant. If it was a light industrial M1 development, which we see all the time, and they wanted to expand here, and they owned all the property around it, we'd give it to them 100% of the time.
Well, I disagree with that. I say this a lot of times to a lot of different people. I the comments that come from the public carry a lot of weight with me, just because of the fact that these are the people that generally live in that area or are impacted by the recommendations that we make, which, I mean, all we're doing is making a recommendation. So I've always told people, if you have an issue with something that's coming before planning and zoning, please come, because if no one comes, then we assume that no one has a problem with it. So if you have, 10 people come up and speak against something, then there is probably a problem.
I'm not disagreeing with that at all. I have always been very supportive of having the public come to speak. But if their comments aren't going to be able to be addressed by the actions that we have to take, we have to tell them that. I mean, I just think that we turn this down, it's not going to change one thing out there except for making this current owner tear down an existing building.
Well, and
I agree with Andy.
you know.
Okay. Those are my exact thoughts that you just expressed right there.
So, I mean, if...
And I would argue that it can have a direct impact, and that is in 2003 when this license or whatever, this permit sunsets, and they go back to DEP and ask for renewal or expansion of the existing permit. I do not know what that entails, but I have a feeling that if the city sanctioned expansion of the industrial portion of your property, you would highlight that in your application. I would. And I think that the way, an entirely separate concern is the precedent it sets for doing something and asking for forgiveness. But it can impact, I agree that the ship has sailed largely on the smell and the noxious use, but that's how it can affect it, I think.
If there's an issue there, the city has other remedies to take care of it, and they should. But the zoning issue is not the way to take care of it. But that's my comment.
Public chairman, I don't know protocol.
Well, the public comments are over.
Over?
Yes, sir.
No new topics have come up?
Correct.
Right, thank you.
Thank you. All right, well, we do have a motion and a second with no amendment, so.
I've got one follow-up question.
Okay.
For the use of the building, is M1 the only zoning classification that would permit it to remain intact?
It could be in a B5, but again, that wouldn't be very logical to put a B5 there. You could have a warehouse if you're possibly a B4, depending on what you would call it, if it was considered, but I think that would be a stretch, depending on what the use is. I mean, the use really is a shed to store equipment in. It's and repair some equipment. It's nothing more than that. So I don't think there is another appropriate zone. I think this was most probably the most logical zone to go to.
And the other question that I have is, when we talk about this piece not being developable as a residential piece, the owner looking to change has a significant amount of residential to the north. When you say that it's not developable as is that looking at it in conjunction with the residential to the north?
Yes, or it is.
It is.
The dimensions of this particular notch, being roughly 400 by 400, make it difficult to develop in an R1 zone. In an R1 zone, you have to have a minimum lot width of 100 feet. You also have to have a right-of-way providing access of 50 feet. So if you're looking at a 400-foot wide piece of property, you could perhaps have three rows of lots with two 50-foot wide rights of way, but it
could not put a cul-de-sac in there that's 50 foot wide down the middle of it with 175 foot deep lots.
And you could have lots that are bigger than the minimum R1, but given it being a notch that is surrounded by M1 zone property, it makes more planning sense to square off the zoning district. The R1 properties to the north are developable as they are. They're larger, there's room to provide the access, the lot configurations and buffers to the light industrial. But when you're looking at a smaller piece of property, it's not that practical.
Ty, what about people that live in the city and have these hangars in their backyards that they do shop work and whatnot, and those are in the R1 zoning? I've seen them in there, one in Highlands like that, the Highlands, or not the Highlands, but near the Highlands. And isn't there one also north of Northeast 7th Street in that subdivision that goes through to Fat Boys?
That may be because it's a big ancillary structure with an actual residence on the premises.
I know, but I'm just asking. I mean, how is that different from this?
That garage.
There's no residence on this premises for it to be an ancillary structure too.
It's a modular office. Yeah, like that has a large garage.
Yeah, larger than the house.
It should not have been built. It was built incorrectly. It didn't meet the
I know, but wouldn't it be possible for the city to, I mean, just have a some kind of an exception for this? Is that any possible at all, possibility at all?
This, in, what you have in a single family neighborhood is you have the primary use of residential, and then there is the accessory structure, which would be the garage or the shed. We don't have any restrictions on the size other than the height.
It's too high and it's in the front yard.
The location and the height are the only restrictions we have on garages or sheds. Someone could put in a garage or shed that is the same size of the house or larger. We don't have a restriction on that. This property being zone one, for them to have a shed that would meet the requirements, there would need to be an occupied home on the property. But we know that this particular shed is being used as part of the business. And I suppose that some of the garages are, you couldn't even have a home occupation because home occupations can't be performed out of the garage.
I checked on that years ago. It went through the proper review process and got the proper permit. It was wrong. It didn't meet the head of the machine. But we haven't had any. Nobody from the has filed any complaints as far as I know.
Ty, before you walk us through your diagram, I've got one more question, and that is, assuming that in 2023 the use is not extended, what is the usability of that property for anything in the near future with it having a history as a C&D facility?
I think they would have to clean it up. That's part of the
when you say
process when a permit is not renewed or something. I think there's a time period.
When you say clean it up, they have to do what?
They would have to stop the use and do certain things to make it sure that it's not an environmental, that it's not an environmental hazard going forward.
But
in terms of what would be exact, I know just like any other landfill, they go through a process of termination and they have to go through certain things in terms of how it can be going, it can be used going forward. But more than likely, yes, it's not going to be a very likely use other than possibly some industrial use. We've had properties that have been able to mitigate whether there's landfill or especially construction and landfill debris, and they've been reused or some sort of landfill. Actually, the senior services offer the 17th Street extension as part of an old landfill. And there's another building we're looking on, the Children's Medical Society. So society is looking to build another piece on that was owned by the city that was in the building of the city. Probably can be reused, this depending on how bad the site is. And this has certain height. There's a lot of height in terms of the pile. So just like a regular landfill, it would be somewhat difficult to reuse that portion of the property. And again, I would give a diagram. We should have had a diagram in there. The areas that are in hash, that's where the existing landfill is in. This is the one parcel cell, and then this is the other one along here. And this is the entrance road. This is the property in question. And then the ones with the F's are all the ones at Friends. And they were going in 2009. I think they were asking for approximately this piece of property to go into that parcel for the change. And at the time, we were working with Habitat. Habitat had an option, I think, with the property owner to build Habitat houses along here. But I think they decided because of possibly the landfill expanding, they would look at other options. So there was some options of looking for Habitat houses along 28th from there. And there would be somewhat of a buffer about 50 or 60 feet, I think, between the back, the edge of the property where the landfill would be. And then this is Counts Construction, the warehouse, and then this is the vacant piece. One other issue, the property owners
Ty, you mentioned possible further development of Friends. What you were just talking about, can you share with us a little bit more about what that possibility is and what discussions have been had about that already?
In terms of Friends?
Yeah.
I mean, what they did was they tried to apply for that rezoning of this piece right here in 2009. Again, that was denied. And then the use was also, again, eventually denied. So Friends cannot respond. They cannot expand beyond their existing permit that they have now, which is those parcels. They cannot go any further into the R1 parcels without getting it into the code and then into the zone.
So Ty, why do you think that whenever, at what point in time was this, the property that Friends is on now, was it zoned M1? And then the property that we're talking about, it was zoned R1. I mean, at what point? I mean, were those labels just applied to the properties at some point in time?
I think it was. It may have come in when it came in from the county. As far as I know, it was always zoned R1. Again, I think back in 1991, I did look and see that they were trying to establish recommending it, trying to take it out of the M1 and put it all in the R1. Staff did get successfully removed the landfill in the transfer station out of the code, so it would be non-conforming. But at the end, I think the property owner, again, I think is Buddy Rose, was the property owner's name, that's protested in council with leaving the M1 in place. I think it's partly M2, partly the R2. So the existing zoning stayed in place.
Well, my thought is just that at that point in time, the reason why the R1 is up there is because the R1 serves as a buffer to the M1 zoning in the back, which is pretty common in areas like this. And then whoever had the property just pretty much decided that they didn't really care about that R1 zoning.
I'm not sure.
The truck scale in, put the other building in, and then the current property owner acquired the property and wasn't aware that that was an issue, and then found out later that that's an issue. And then the remedy now is just to rezone the whole property to M1, which I have a lot of concerns about. All right, any more comments?
Yeah, I'll take a shot at this one.
Well, we have a motion.
I know we got a motion. I'm trying to get my thoughts straight. I do not like to see a property owner who purchased property with an existing building on it have to tear down a building because of a zoning issue that's easily changed. However, the other side of me sees that we have a situation here where we have a non-conforming use, and the zoning ultimately, whether it makes any difference or not, is to make it easier for the non-conforming use to continue. And the whole point of zoning is to protect neighbors in an area to get rid of non-conforming uses. So typically when a non-conforming use comes before me asking for a zoning change, I'm not inclined to grant it. I encourage the petitioner to look for another way to try and salvage the building, but I can't vote in favor of the change.
Okay, didn't call the question.
Okay. All right, with a motion and a second.
Okay. And just to refresh, it's a motion for denial of the requested change.
Mr. Batsall.
Aye.
Ms. McCall.
Aye.
Mr. Adams.
Aye.
Mr. Greiner.
Nay.
Mr. Kesselring.
Aye.
Mr. Schott.
Aye.
Mr. Gibney.
Aye.
Motion carries to deny.
The application will go before City Council on November 18th is the public hearing scheduled.
Yeah, and I would agree with Mr. Schott. I would be looking for another solution. All right, moving forward to the next code amendment, COD 14-0014.
Yeah, this is a code amendment back a few years ago. We put in some additional criteria for a gas station, convenience store, as it relates to shopping center type developments. We were at the time looking to basically allow them on large pieces of property, large SC or properties that meet the SC criteria in the B2. But since we adopted the PD ordinance, which would basically kind of allow the same thing if they had a mix of uses on a smaller shopping center, usually less than 15 acres, then there's a kind of an inconsistency that we notice. And as we're going through and cleaning up the code and making some of the changes, we thought that it wasn't needed in terms of that it had to be part of a DRI, PUD, and be over 15 acres. So staff's recommending just to revise it to have some criteria. Basically, the things that we're concerned about is you know, the access and how the access point, and then also the design issue. So you'll recall a couple of years ago we had one in the PUD when it came forward with the racetrack. Actually, it was a year and a half ago. The racetrack came through. It was really more about the design, not so much the use, and the use really wasn't restricted. Of course, that was part of a large PUD DRI. But there are many other properties that could have less than 15 acres that could meet a shopping center. A shopping center is anything over 4 acres or 25,000 square feet of inline, or big box is anything 5 acres or 35,000 square feet.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah. I'm sure I'm missing something. Can these services, can they be self-standing? I mean, they don't have to be in a...
Oh, yeah. Convenience stores.
This is just covering the criteria if they are in a SC?
If they're in a shopping center,
okay,
yes.
So outside of that, it's just the normal requirements that we've always had for...
Right. I mean, right now, yeah, you have a freestanding piece, B2, you can do it. But if you have a B2 piece that's part of a shopping center, it has to be 15 acres or more, or
okay,
be
yeah.
part of a PUD or a DRI or something.
I gotcha.
Any other questions?
I know going forward, we're most probably going to have applications that would be inconsistent, that would have to go, somebody could come in with a PD on a 10, 12-acre, 15-acre piece and request some mixed use. And again, all of it is still going to be up to anything to do with a shopping center, the PD, or the B2 going through the shopping center. It's all up to the Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council in terms of the use and the design and everything. And if they don't feel that's appropriate, they have that public hearing process. So I didn't think we needed another layer saying, no, you can't have it at all. It would give P&Z and City Council the option to address that when it comes before them with a actual plan.
All right, thank you. We'll open it up for public comments. Anyone? All right, bring it back to the board.
Chairman, I'll move for approval.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. Schott?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Batzel?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Ms. McCall?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. I believe that is...
No comments?
It.
Chairman.
Anyone else have anything? Nope.
I'm not sure if we have a meeting in November.
Right.
So, yeah, we may have one, but...
On the 10th? Would you tell me?
November 10th.
Yeah, we've already gaveled this meeting.
Okay.
He's telling us about it today.
We will schedule it.
Let him talk.
That's true. There you go.